السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. Alhamdulillah, we're together again to continue with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I believe today is the name number 38. And inshallah, today's name will be Al-Khabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Khabir. And whether we know Arabic or Urdu, we have a familiarity with the name. Desi or Arabic, yes, alhamdulillah. And Turkish as well, mashallah. Does anyone here does not know where this word derived from? No. Huh? Oh, okay. Yeah, the name Al-Khabir has to do with knowing things, the knower of things, the knowledgeable of things. Aware of, yes. Okay. And khabir also ala wazn fa'il, okay. Also could be the one who tells you things as well. Okay. The one who he has the knowledge of it and also gives the knowledge as well. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will give some knowledge to us about things, and he's the one who is khabir with everything. Okay. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khabir with all the details of that which we try to do, which we plan to do, which we are doing. Now, the details of Allah's knowledge, it is so much that there is nothing away from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you'll be making a decision about a matter, having an intention about a matter, executing this intention, making that plan, maybe changing your intention as you're going along, maybe bring it back to the old intention, maybe in the way you have a change of heart of something, whatever it is that happens, okay, during that process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khabir of it, knows the details of it, whether it is something they actually do or something you actually think about or the intention of that which you are doing. And that goes on until we die. Until we die. So this whole knowledge is now accumulated together. Okay? And at the day of judgment, you'll be presented with some knowledge about the details of your life that, you know, might scare you or please you. It depends on the outcome or the accumulation of which deeds you accumulated more than others. Now, this name Khabir is like also when we say something, someone who has khibra, who has knowledge of something, then the design and the commands and the force that he uses is something that is so special because Allah has all this knowledge. But what we decide to do and try to plan, the knowledge that we have and the khibra we have is something that is acquired. So when we do some work, trial and error, find out what works, what doesn't work, experiment with things, then we gain this kind of knowledge of doing things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir. So when He does something, it is the best, the completion, the perfection. When you look at a mankind designing something, look at anything that is designed a few years ago and now how it developed and how it is today. Okay? There are many things that, you know, you keep revisiting and revisiting many things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go through this process. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, He is al-khabir. So how many, you know, what was the human, the first human being like? It was designed the same as the human being today. Not change, no change. Yes, change because of some environment here and there and so forth, but basically the creation of a human being is the same. Look at a human being, an embryo grown in the womb, where the heart, you can hear the heart pulsing, pumping the blood that is going through, the circulation of the blood going through the body. You could hear it. But the lungs are not working, but it's being developed. Right? We have physicians here. Okay? So the lungs are not working. Okay? But they are developed and ready to work. So the circulation of the blood does not go through the lungs. It's not dependent on the lungs' work. Okay? So the heart, as the doctors say, it has a hole in it. So the circulation will be complete in there. As soon as a baby is born and breathe, the heart closes, that hole in the heart closes. And now the blood goes through the lungs and so forth, and the lungs, you know, takes the blood and push it back and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir. Okay? You cannot look at the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, you know, we can make improvement on this. No. Now, when we in our lives go on and have that knowledge, and this is the difference between a Muslim who has a knowledge of Allah and the one who doesn't. Okay? The one who does not have the knowledge of Allah tend to imagine Allah the way they have their experience. So they tend to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes of a human being. Okay? You know, like some who came and visited me in my home once, you know, those who knock on the door say, give you a book as soon as they see you, and they tell you, you know, can we come and talk to you a little bit, you know, and so forth. And last time they came, and I said, he was giving me something. I said, fine, but if you give me something, I'll give you something. He said, no. I said, then we were in agreement. He said, okay, have a good day. He said, whenever you stop by next time, you're welcome to come in any time, but, you know, I'm going to take whatever you have, and I promise you I'll read it, but I'll give you whatever I have, and you promise me you read it. He said, okay, yeah, I'll see you later, and he just left. And so they came once, and they tell me, they say, God, wal'iyadhu billah, you know, talk about Allah in a way of lack of knowledge. God, you know, Jesus, wal'iyadhu billah, was with God from the beginning. And I said, why? And they said, helping God creating the heaven and the earth. Okay? Now, these are people who are, you know, doing, according to them, doing the work of God. Okay? And so the concept of Allah to them is something that is, you know, distorted, and they have it from some sources and some understanding that is very weak. Okay? Or very blind, if you will. It's not just weak, very blind. Okay? But as soon as the person said that, I said, doing what? And so they realized, the fitrah knows this. The fitrah knows this, right? Not that God needs help, person says, okay? But then again, there is no, cannot articulate what they wanted, because they don't have much else to say. But the point being is, a Muslim goes in their life, and once they know the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is, it makes their life a completely different life. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attended to in a very early time in Islam, especially with the young ones and the youth, the children and the youth, okay? You know, telling them the famous hadith, do you know that all mankind, all jinn, all being, if they, you know, decide to benefit you with something, knows that they will not be able to benefit you with anything except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits for you to get. And if they want to harm you, they cannot get together to harm you with anything except what Allah wishes for you to be done against you and so forth. That kind of a hadith, it gives the person the knowledge of the attributes of Allah. Okay? Now when you hear that hadith, you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. You know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gives. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that takes away. You know that no one has a power except of Allah. We all plan, but the outcome of the plan belongs to Allah. And once you keep this hadith, one after another comes around, talking about the unseen and talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start, you know, going on in your life with a whole complete different attitude. And there is no end to that, meaning you can dwell more and keep dwelling more and deeper and deeper. And this is the beauty of Islam, the beauty of the Quran, the beauty of the hadith, that you can dwell in it, and it will take you as much as you want to go, as deep as you want to go. There is no bottom to it. You keep going deeper, and the deeper it gets, you get, the richer it gets, and keep getting richer and richer. Okay, a brother was telling me the other day, he was making a decision. So, it was so many things, and overwhelming things, and overwhelming with decisions, and then he said, I stopped everything, and I said, okay, do I believe in Allah? Of course. Do I believe in the day the hereafter? Of course. Do I believe that Allah is capable of doing everything? Of course. So, what am I worried about? And that was the end of the subject. that was the end of the subject. He said, I feel so good, and went in and doing whatever it is. But he is a person who is a worker. Who's not the one who lays back and say, you know, just let things happen. No, he's a worker, okay? But he was worried so much about so many things, and said, you know, no, you just do the right thing, okay? Even though there might, my people might, you know, dislike this, my people like dislike that, but do the right thing, and things will work out, okay? Because it's all in the hand of Allah. That's being, you know, not the way relaxed, but the way having some kind of rida, being pleased. The rida, being pleased and being, you know, content is a benefit that Allah gives to His prophets and messengers, okay? And then after that, those who follow, they will get from that a cup, if you will, okay, as much as their iman and their work is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alam nashrah laka sadra, haven't we widened your chest for you? Okay, this is something that only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would know, right? And now we know because it was mentioned in the Quran, okay. And we know it is the dua of Musa alayhi salam, Rabbi shrah li sadri. Okay, oh Allah, open my chest for me. You know, meaning what? Make me comfortable with that which is coming. Okay? Make me stronger to be able to take everything that is coming. Make me take everything at ease. Okay? And now those who follow the messengers, the prophets of Allah, they will get part of that. It depends on your following. According to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll drink from the same cup, if you will. Okay, Until literally Rasulullah sallallahu will give you from the cup. He will give you from the cup in Jannah. Before you enter Jannah, here is the cup. Okay? That Rasulullah sallallahu will give you to drink from his own hand, from Al-Kawthar, which is the river coming out of Jannah, and you drink it then. That is physically now, it is transferred to that. And you'll never get thirsty again after that. Okay? So, you know, the more you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Al-Khabir, the more you are relaxed, okay? The more you are certain, okay, in these names and attributes, the more you are comfortable as you are going on in your life. Because you are not alone. You are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of you. Who just arrived? Alaykum as-salam. You know, we are brothers, beloved brothers who are missing. So you are one. Lu'a is another one. So, when you know that the outcome of things that will happen, it is already designed and known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you go on and then the results you are pleased with. What is the essence of the prayer that you do for istikhara? Istikhara, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put the matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the matter that you would like to or you're thinking about doing. Okay? So you pray two rak'at with this intention of istikhara and then you make dua to Allah. Okay? And say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this matter, you know, is good for me in this life and the hereafter, Allah, make it easy for me and open my heart to it, again open my chest to it and let me go with it. And if it is, and it is not, things are not good for me in this life and thereafter, keep it away from me. And what is this istikhara? Okay. What, see, the result is the same, whether you make istikhara or not, right? What is written is going to happen, is going to happen. But now when you make an istikhara, you are connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are being pleased with the result before it happens. Okay, so now when things work out, you say Alhamdulillah and you hit your hand on the table, right? Alhamdulillah. And you have certainty that this is good for you and you go on. And if it doesn't work out, you do the same reaction and say Alhamdulillah. And you stay away from it. Okay? Versus someone who gets upset. He gets upset. Okay? Now, but now because you have the matter with Allah and you are convinced with this that this is all about what Allah designs for you, then you're happy. Now even if it opens and then you go on it and then problems come around from it, you say, this is good for me. See, I needed this. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't have put me through it. Okay? So it is all good. It's all good. It is the essence of submission and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. But Al-Khabir here, it gives you a level, it gives us a level that's very special. Because when you realize that Allah realizes what's in you, it becomes a very special relationship with Allah. Okay? Why? Because you are now knowing that there is a communication between you and Allah. Without you uttering a word, without you saying anything. Okay? That puts you in a level of correction all the time. So if there is something that comes to your mind and your heart that is not good, then you're ashamed to continue with it, with that thought, because Allah is aware of you. Allah is a khabir. Allah is alim. So you shy away from it. And if there is something positive that you want to say, or you want to think about, you want to do, you have intention with, you do it and you smile, because you know that Allah is aware of it now. without doing anything yet. Okay, you know, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْأَعْلَى. But if you know, we've said this many times before. You know, when you try to explain things to someone who does not quite get it, and you keep going from right to left, up and down, here and there, and try to explain things, and finally the person gets it, versus that someone that you know very well, a friend, like a child friend that you know very well, and what happened? You know, something happened, and you both look at one another. What do? You smile, right? You smile. Why? Because, you know, that whatever is happening, it means the same thing to both of you, because you have so much in common. So all you have to do is just smile, and that's it. Okay, you know, when I'm traveling, before I travel, I can go to someone and say, inshallah, next week I'll be traveling for 2 weeks, and my family might need this. I left this, you know, this and that, and your children need this, and they have this and that, and try to, you know, tell them, you know, and please take care of this and that, and, you know, give them a list. Versus, I go to another person and say, next week I'm leaving for a month. You say, inshallah, alhamdulillah, done. You understand? There is no need to go any further, because this person, you love him so much, he loves you so much, and you don't need to tell him. He knows. You know that you turn around, he'll be on his toes taking care of things. Okay? And he knows what you need more than you do. Okay? And he knows exactly what is the need for your household, this, this, and that. Then this is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. As he would leave his house, he would say, oh Allah, you are the companion in travel, as he was traveling. You are the companion in traveling, and you are the one who's taking care of the family. Right? Right? Here is Allah, you know? Allah, you know, this is the understanding. Okay? Versus, you know, I asked someone this about the Passover. Okay? I don't know how this accurate is, but how accurate this is, but this is what he said. He said, you know, they slaughter things, animals, and then they take the blood of it and mark it on the door of their houses. So when God comes that the following day and passes over their houses, know who sacrificed and who didn't. Okay? Okay? Now, that is, I'm talking a person who is religious, a person who, you know, trying to know and so forth. So, you know, here is the concept of you going on in your life and you're aware that Allah is aware of you. Okay? You're aware that Allah is aware of you. Okay? So you're in a constant work all the time to be standing clean, shiny, polite from the inside out in front of Allah. Okay? It's a shame on us to go to sleep, put your head on the pillow, and and there are still things that's hanging over you of, you know, here and there. Okay? Whether certain things that you said you should not have said, certain things that you heard that you should not listen to or see or say and so forth, and you're just going to sleep like that. And leave these things are hanging like that. Shame on us if we do this. Because if we do this, we're not quite aware of the what we are going through. You know, we're not quite aware of what we're going through. We're not quite aware of our relationship with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Because when you do this, you're not realize you are almost guaranteeing that you're going to wake up. Right? How could you have that guarantee? And if you not guaranteed that you're going to wake up, how could you not be prepared to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you close your eyes? Okay? And you know things that it has to be taken care of and then you didn't take care of it. How could you do that? Okay. And that is the preparation for Jannah. That is the preparation of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this kind of a level of life that a Muslim lives is a level of life that is Jannah on earth. That is Jannah on earth. That you're walking around and you are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of you. And you are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of you. And you are aware that the plans in the future that you're making, you know, it might change, it might go away, it might happen. Okay. You're walking around and your Jannah actually in your chest. Okay? When you reach that level, then you're really in Jannah on earth. Because that is the only place that no one can affect. You understand? Cannot be affected at all. Okay? I mean, what if your enemies who are, you know, this and that, whatever it is that you want to do against you or so forth, they cannot reach that area in your chest. Okay? They cannot touch that relationship. Okay? As one scholar said, if the kings of the world know the pleasure we have in our chest, they will fight us to get it from us. They will go after it with the sword. Okay? But they can't. They cannot get it. Okay? It is a development that happens for those who wishing and working for it to happen. See? You have to wish for it, make dua for it, work it, keep doing the work, and it will happen because it's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will reach you, let you reach it. Okay? This qalb as-saleem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Allah looks at your hearts, does not look at your outside, looks inside. And the one who will enter Jannah, the heart that will enter Jannah is the heart that is Salim. The heart Salim here is sound, free of sicknesses. And this what we're doing in all these, the Asma Allah and names and beautiful attributes, gets us on this path of being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, being aware that Allah is aware of us. So the correction is always there. So the heart is always salim. We'll try to get the heart to the level of purity or a level of soundness. And it takes a lot of work. You know, when as we were talking in the khutbah today, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the angels who are coming, waiting at Jum'ah, recording those who are entering. Okay, a person who aware of the unseen, and the unseen to them, is more than the seen, more real than the seen, because the unseen is absolute reality. That which is seen is not absolutely real because it's going to go away. You understand this concept? So when you go on in your life holding on to the unseen more than the seen, you are on the road of success. Because it brings you back to perspective. Because you are in connection with the absolute truth, not the one that will change. So imagine a person coming to the masjid, leaving their home. Okay, leaving their home. And realizing this point that the angels are there at the door, recording. And I want to be recorded. So I'm going to leave my house quickly and hurry up to come to the masjid. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the imam gets on the member and says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, the angels closes their books and they sit and listen. Okay? So now imagine a person coming around, and I meet brothers like that. As soon as they see me coming, they hurry up, okay? And if I'm taking my shoes off first, actually a brother holds me a little bit, okay? And I know what they're doing, okay? And they hurry up and come in. These special people who are aware of this, right? And you have others who are standing outside, okay, and talking and joking and still, you know, and I'm going in and coming in and so forth. Okay, you know, the khutbah didn't start yet. They're not quite aware of the value of this. Okay? They're not quite in that Jannah yet. Okay? That the awareness of what goes on. What really goes on. You know, imagine you making dua and an angel is with you saying ameen. There is one guaranteed situation that when you're making dua, an angel will be right by you saying ameen, and you have the same. Ameen, you have the same. When you're making dua for your brother from behind his back. Okay? So here is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give us incentive for working with one another, loving one another, make dua for one another, and give us a piece of the unseen, okay, which is the certainty in the heart of the believers to work with and look forward to. So you sit there and make dua for your brother, and you know for sure that the angel is saying ameen, and you get the same. Ameen, you have the same. So you are sincere with your dua of your brother, and you are have the knowledge that you are going to get the same. This is knowledge of the unseen in the life of this, of that which is seen. Now, that which is unseen in the hereafter, okay, is something that you work so much for, okay, that becomes your life. But at the same time, you're walking around in life doing the things that you have to do. Versus a person seems to be doing the same thing that you are doing, but he is like a cattle, you know, eating and drinking and sleeping and so forth. And they are worse than cattle because they are created for a better responsibility, for a higher cause, that they don't realize it and they don't want to realize it. Okay. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir, the one who has the knowledge of things, the awareness of things that you're going to happen and you are planning to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, said that you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge, okay, of that which you are doing. Now, the details of what you are doing, the one on the surface and the one on the inside. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khabir with things, so Allah does not need experience to perfect that which He is allowed to happen in the best of ways. Okay? Allah will not change His mind about things. Okay? Allah will not go through trials and errors. So when things does not work according to your plan but works in a certain way, you know that this is the knowledge of Allah, the khibra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it has to be done that way, or it's a better outcome for it to go this way. So you go with it. And a pleasure of life starts from that recognition. A pleasure of life that we wish, you know, to have and give others. As, you know, Ali radiallahu anhu, when he was saying in a long statement at the end of it, saying that there are so many who are carrying the truth, but they have no vision of bringing it to reality, meaning articulating it, meaning knowing what it really is. So when they speak, they make mistakes. And when they make mistakes, they do not know that they're making mistakes. And they are mesmerized by the surface of what they have, and they do not know the reality of it. They do not know the reality of it. Okay? So, you know, all of us, we proud to be Muslims. We love to be Muslims. And we say we are Muslims. We have La ilaha illallah. But now, okay, now go ahead and articulate that. Okay? Especially to non-Muslims. What would happen? Okay, let me put it this way. Now we have been talking about, alhamdulillah, about 38 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the beginning, if we would have asked you a question, stand, take the microphone, talk to the people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for half an hour. Okay? And be so excited about it. And I want them, as soon as they leave here, they want to know more, and so forth. You might have said at that time, can I pick another subject? there are subjects that I know more about, right? Okay? Because when you stand up and take the microphone, this is what you're going to do. Allah is Allah. And then you say, Allah is the creator of the heaven and the earth. You'll find yourself talking about things that everybody knows, right? Allah, nothing happens except by the will of Allah. Allah has given you everything that you need. And that was it. Then that's it. Okay? Now, hopefully after 38 attributes, we can articulate a little bit more to ourselves, in our heart, so we can articulate it to others. Okay? Hopefully we can look at ourselves now and you can take a deeper breath, right? And say, we are more relaxed now. Go and doing whatever it is that you always do, okay? And again, think about that. Inshallah, may Allah give us life and effort and help to go through all the names that we know. Inshallah, so at the end, reach the level saying, we can really articulate this concept of the Creator, Alhamdulillah. I know Brother Lu'ay is not here. Okay. So turn the microphones on now, inshallah.
Bismillah.
Go for it, yes.
maybe, I don't know if we went over when you said the opening, Al-Basid, right? Al-Basid and Al-Qabiz, like opening, yes. And the... So we have to have a quiz sometimes, maybe, if we learned or not. Sometimes we forget the names. But inshallah, today I'd like to share two stories about the name of Khabir. First one, when I was getting Tajweed lessons in the morning, I learned this name by Brother Muhammad when I was reading the surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman inna rabbahum bihim yawma idhi la khabir. I didn't know what khabir was. Like, in Turkish it means habar, but in Arabic it's khabir, so it's a little twist to it. But I said, la khabir, and then he said, no. And it means, in Quran that we have to have an ilm and study so much that even a little word can, change the whole meaning.
Negate
without knowledge.
What you're trying to say, yes.
And today, alhamdulillah, I had a chance to give a dawah that it wasn't planned, but I was...
It's the best kind.
after the Jum'ah, I went to my dad's shop, and then there was a lone customer. She knows me when I was little, so she said, how are you? I haven't seen you for, 2 years, 3 years. And then she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, okay. She said, what is the difference between, Sunnis and Shiis? I said, where did the question come from? Because my beard, because we never talk religion with her. So when she saw me, the first thing she asked. So I said, I cannot go to very detail with you, but I can tell you this much, the concepts change. The truth, the reality changes, even though we have the knowledge of, we have the habir of the knowledge. We go into different fields. And she said, you know what, I tried to explain it to her, and then she said, you know, this is what happened, you know, all the religions are same, we are all, you know, we are all the same, and all the books are same. I said, not really, there's a twist, I said. Mm-hmm. The first book came, it had the knowledge that Allah gave us about the whole reality, the concept had changed. And then the second book came, the third book, fourth book, and there were many books, but I was, because she doesn't know all the books, I said the Testament came, then the Old Testament came, and then the Quran came. So we have the knowledge right now that the Old Testament does have the same meanings. You know, she said, oh, I pulled out the meanings from the Quran and the meanings from the Bible. It has the same words, and not really. I said, you have to check. If you check, I said, in the Bible it says insects have 5 legs. So with the knowledge of that guy writing that book, would you really want to read that? She stopped and then she said, not really. She's a Christian, and then she said, not really. You know, when I read the Bible, I sometimes go, if not. And I said, if you have the khabir, you know, if you have the knowledge of the truth, then why aren't you not, you know, reading this, the last book? You know, why don't you take the chance of reading the next? She said, oh, and then she wrapped it up after. She said, you know what, we're all the same. And then my dad comes in, he says, Zafar, no religion talk here. We're all the same. And I said, thank you, dad. You just messed up all the dhamma that I had by saying we're all the same. So wrapping up with the story, the name of Allah, Khabir, we are introduced. We have given the knowledge of, you know, what the truth is clearly with the books. And even though other non-Muslims read Bible and they admit that there are errors, and I said the first language of Arami, and then Arami to Greek, and then Greek to Latin, and there were certainly things changed. She said, yes, I agree with you. There are things that has, you know, fifth grader can figure out that it's not true. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if we have the knowledge, then we have to practice. And that's where she ended. She said, no.
You planted the seed.
That is that's the problem we are experiencing, especially interfaith.
Yes.
Dialogues and others. And I had an experience one time with a group. I went to a church, and they invited us, and we did go there. And one of our Muslim participants stood up and said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So they said, we all are same. All we have to do is, if you believe in Allah, which you believe in God, and you believe in Day of Judgment, which you do, then there is no fear. And I mean,
why did we have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming to you?
It is the mm-hmm. misunderstanding we all have. Mm-hmm. Also, that question has been I am asked quite a few questions about Islam. Two of them are, one that, are you Sunni or Shia? Mm-hmm. So I say the same thing, where did this come from? Mm-hmm. So they say, what is the difference? I say, there is no difference. It is like there is beef and there is chicken. Somebody prefers chicken but does not hate beef, likes both things, but he prefers chicken more. So if there are both things available, he will eat the chicken dish. The other one, he prefers beef over chicken. That's what the difference is. There is no other. The other difference is, you have made it and you propagate. And the second question, they say, why do Muslims have 4 marriages? So
where the chicken falls in here? No.
So I say that, where did this question come from? And then I will say that Muslims, mm-hmm. Islam did not extend it to 4 marriages. Islam limited to 4 marriages. How many wives mm-hmm. David had? How many wives Salman had? And how many your kings had and your prophets in the biblical and Israeli mm-hmm. Guideline. So Islam actually limited all them up to four and put the condition, if you cannot follow the guidance, then it is better for you to stay with one. I said it is in the same verses where it says you can go up to four. At the end it says that you stay with one if you cannot follow the guidance and if you cannot be just and fair. So that thing that you mentioned, that to put the blood mark on that, mm-hmm. maybe next time you slaughter the animal, I will take the blood and put on my door.
By the way, inshallah, next week on Yom Sept, we have a da'wah workshop. Okay? A da'wah workshop, inshallah. Okay? You come, you register, you attend, and inshallah, you'll get a certificate at the end. Yes. Because once we have an open house, if you don't have a certificate, you don't open your mouth. No. Yom Sept. The one after you do Jummah. I believe from 2 to 5, or inshallah, we'll have it on the internet announcement, inshallah. You should have it in. By tomorrow, we'll be sending the emails. We just held back on the email, so you can only read the email about the fundraiser. Okay? So as soon as that out, inshallah, you'll get it. And try to advertise for it around, inshallah. Okay? For other messages, we will be doing that, inshallah. Okay? So it's going to be, bi-idhnillah, an awareness of what we do. The title is, or the heading is, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call for Islam? How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call people to Islam? Okay? So the emphasis will be on the Quran and the Sunnah, how Allah talking to people and tell them come to Islam. And you cannot adjust in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that is the best way of calling people to Islam. So you need to know what it is to try to refine the technique of using it and be aware of what it is. So when we talk, we don't make mistakes. And we, inshallah, we always make mistakes, but not major ones, inshallah. And it'll be a forum where you can, inshallah, ask questions, you know, and get, you know, all these done with the famous things that comes from all over, you know, the questions and so forth, inshallah. Who's next?
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Just a question that, like with these attributes, when we make any dua, can we use these attributes like Shafi? So when somebody is sick, we say, Allahumma.
Shafi, yes.
Shafi. So, like Khabir,
yes.
If. There is some. So, can we use these attributes in our du'a?
Actually, the wasila to make du'a or to use, to go to Allah, are three allowed ones. Mm-hmm. Three ways. Okay, you know the word wasila means.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, the first one is what you're saying. You make du'a through the names and attributes of Allah. Allah is Ar-Rahim, so you ask, Ya Rahim, send your Rahmah upon me. Okay? You know, Allah is Al-Khabir. Oh Allah, you are Khabir with what I'm going through. And Alim with what I'm going through.
Yes.
Ya Allah, and so forth and so on. Okay? Second is through a dua of a person that loves you and you love and a righteous person. Right? Okay, yes. And we do that all the time. We say, please make dua for me. Right? So this is this is one way. Okay? A wasila is, you know, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make dua for us. When some of the companions would say to others, make dua for me. So that is legitimate way to make dua. to ask someone to make dua for you. When someone is sick, right, and you know that Allah is with them and near them, so you wish for them to make dua. And if they are too weak, say you go there and make dua, say, just say ameen, you know. So the dua through the person who is righteous and so forth. The third is the dua through your good deeds. The dua through your good deeds. And we have the evidence from the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the three who were traveling from the people before us, right, and they went in a cave, a rock fell, blocked the cave, and they were making dua. One, each one of them mentioned a story of something that he has done that was so righteous. And through this good deed, he asked Allah to remove the rock. The rock moved a little bit. Second one, you know, one of them was about money that somebody worked and did not pay him, and so he worked his money for him, became so much of it. When after a few years he came to take it back, he gave him all the wealth that he had, that he brought from, you know, the few dirham that he worked in the market, if you will, for him. And the second one, who was with his parents, right, that he would not give his children, you know, feed them or give them milk unless he gives milk for his parents. One day he came and they were sleeping, and he stood there with the milk all night while the kids are crying until they woke up and so forth, and gave them to drink before the children. And the third one, who wanted to have a relationship with a woman, and when she needed something, he said, I will not do that unless you have a relationship with me. But when he came about to do that, he remembered Allah and made istighfar and did not go through with it. So through their good deeds, they made dua and Allah moved the rock. So those are the only three legitimate, according to the Quran and Sunnah, ways to use wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other than that, no. And especially when you say through the person who we think is righteous, he has to be alive. And you know that, yes.
Like when we pray, like after the Isha prayer, let's say when we do our prayers, can we say, you know, for the goodness of the jama'ah, you know, Allah, you know, like asking dua because of the barakah of the jama'ah, like, is that possible? Or the question is not clear, I'm not sure, but like, I don't know how to explain it. Some people...
No, there are special places, okay, special times, okay, that Allah preferred, okay? Allah preferred over things. You know, the masajid, Allah preferred over other places. The fajr, Allah, you know, dua before fajr preferred over some other times. Like around the Kaaba, you know, the haram preferred. And in Laylatul Qadr, a time preferred over other time. So, yes, you can make dua in that time and ask Allah because of the special bounty that you have in that day. Okay, I'm asking you, Allah, so forth and so on. Yes? You're not going to making something up here. You're using something that Allah has given you. Allah is telling you, come to that place or come to that time, and you will have, I will answer your dua. Wake up for the last third of the night and make dua at that time. Okay? So you wake up and say, you, Allah, I'm here. You know, at that time you promised me, Allah, you know, that you know, this dua is accepted, and here is Allah, I'm making dua for you. Yes. According to the most of the opinions, is the last hour of or time of the day. Yes.
So Islamic
day
would be the end of Asr? Or?
Yes.
Another question regarding this dua, like wasila, the last one, through our good deeds. God forbid, I might be wrong, but I was afraid if I mention my good deed and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of that good deed, I may not lose the real thawab of that.
No, you're not mentioning it. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. You're not mentioning it as a favor, wal'adhu billah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you're mentioning it as an obedience to Allah. Okay? Yes. Like it's not, as they say, a tit for a tat, wal'adhu billah. You know? I did this, okay, now I want this to happen. No, it is you know, it is your submission and surrender to Allah, okay? It is reminding yourself, you know, not reminding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And you mention, ya Allah, you know, here is I am between your hand and I did this so and so. No, it is not a favor that you are given, no.
Otherwise, I read this hadith that if you ask dunya instead of dunya, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that thing in the dunya, and then the real reward in life hereafter will probably lose. Mm-hmm. So, but you, mm-hmm. thanks for verifying this, that mm-hmm. it has to be under obedience,
yes.
Being humble.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You beautifully mentioned about the knowledge and people with knowledge has Qalbi Saleem, and but with knowledge, responsibility also increases.
Yes.
If he makes a mistake, he's punished more. So this.
Yes, but a person with knowledge and taqwa, a slip of a tongue would be like a mountain of Uhud over your shoulder, inshallah, okay? But a person without the knowledge and taqwa, a great sin, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put it, might be like a fly over your nose, you just move your hand for it to go away. Yeah. So, yes, it is more responsibility, but it should not scare you, meaning that your sensitivity grows with that. So that which you thought it was something easy becomes something great now, okay? So that is good. That is good. So, you know, don't let shaitan see now. Now that you are so knowledgeable now, you're gonna get really mess things up, you know. So might as well not just come here anymore, you know. I know that's not what you're saying, but that path is a path that shaitan uses. Yes.
I actually read a hadith about the subject. I think there's a saying, whoever knows ilm or a subject and somebody comes and asks you of it and you purposely don't answer it, you are given a hell of, I mean, fire of what, I didn't get the...
A mouthpiece of fire in
yes,
your mouth. Yes. Yes.
So that way, So don't be scared. If you know, if you think, and then you can refer back, maybe go back and check yourself. But
Aisha time is.
Do we have long. Sisters are listening? If you want to share anything with us. No. Okay. Yeah. Sheikh Luay, come and sit and give you the microphone. I don't care what you say. You're gonna have to say something. Come on. Yes, Brother Lai, come on.
I did not hear the lecture.
Fine. You have to give us a word. This session will not be the same without you. Come on. Yeah. You can just share anything with us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I was in a surgery today and it's like 9 hours and 45.
Subhanallah. You missed Juma.
Yeah.
Subhanallah.
Yeah. They cannot leave. The surgery was the surgeon have to repair vascular surgery. It's in the heart. You know, there is something they call aorta, mm-hmm. which is go out from the heart. The physicians know that.
We talked about this, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah,
see, you're not very far off.
Yeah. So the aorta in this patient have a aneurysm. Aneurysm is when it's become like the balloon, you know, mm-hmm. the aorta. And if you did not repair it, it will bleed mm-hmm. and he will die. So he have so many
balloons.
A lot of in the aorta, he have one in the abdominal aorta, and he have in the arch one. He have in the and the two common carotid, they call it common carotid, which go to the brain. You have another two, and you have stenosis in the renal artery. The surgeon, when he was, I was amazed by his talent, you know, that how he did, you know, in like 8 minutes he repaired each one of them. It's like 6-7 procedures, but you know, you have to prepare for it, and he's so skilled. Mm-hmm. But subhanAllah, I was thinking that if this is from an expert surgeon who know how to repair, you know, something. Mm-hmm. So the amazing things which I was talking with the brother Arif this morning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed the machine to be repaired. Mm. You see what I mean? It's not designed perfect, that this machine, which is the human being body, it's absolutely perfect, you know, if you did not have a disease or did not ruin your life, you know. So it's okay, but it's designed to be repaired. Mm-hmm. And you could access each artery very easy, repair it. And he said to us, the more you have technology and knowledge, the more you will be able to repair these things. Yeah. And one of the procedures they do, they freeze the brain and the heart. Mm-hmm. When they do bypass, they freeze it. Mm-hmm. Practically, you are dead. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when we monitor the waves of the brain, it's flat. Mm-hmm. So the brain die. Metabolism, you know, it's the temperature of the patient go down, and chemically they freeze it, so he's dead completely, you know. This is what in term technology, what is dead is the wave of the brain is flat. And subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala give us this technology, said, okay, here's the machine, here's how to turn it off. You turn off the machine, it's flat, you repair whatever you want, and then you turn it back on, and it's moving on. I mean, so if you want to think about the Khabir, there is, I mean, you cannot imagine the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the expert of Allah, how he designed this machine, you know, and we are just discovering, you know, every time we discover new technology, we said, oh, here's how we will do this, and, you know, we become expert, and, you know, a surgeon, and everybody respect him, you know, and we know nothing about, still, you know, about the human being, subhanAllah. So that's what I was doing today.
Jazakallah khair.
That's it. Anybody? Adhan
time. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan.